Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Jim, it's been a while since we sat in front of the cameras here, man.
Too long.
I think we might have only had about 15,000 subscribers when we last did it. A lot of things have changed since then, man. And since we have already accepted that the world is burning, you know, silly us, we thought maybe we'd take a little powder and everything will be fixed. It's not going to happen. Probably won't happen. Fuck it. Let's just get back on the scene. I don't know if we even were doing like weekly shoots, and we'll call this talk and shoot. This is a new show, man, because we don't have to be bound by a weekly schedule. Maybe we keep it weekly, maybe we don't. Depends on what we have going on in the week. But I don't think we shot one of these things by the time your Kickstarter wrapped up, man.
That's probably true. But before we dive down that Kickstarter rabbit hole, welcome to all the new subscribers. Our numbers have certainly grown a lot in the last year. That is awesome. If you've come here, it's because you love comics, I'm sure. I don't know why else you would be here. So welcome. You know, there's a lot of ways to kind of like follow us, to engage. We have a newsletter that you can sign up for below this video that we send out every couple of weeks. The frequency of that may change. You know, some working on some stuff there. Certainly subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't, if you're new here, to keep up with everything that we have going on. Some interesting videos in the tank that we've recorded already this week.
I see your shirt is on brand, man. Show that thing off, dude.
Yes, the latest Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirt. We have a lot of merch, a lot of t-shirts. Again, you can find these at the links below this video.
Yeah, and it keeps the lights on at the Kayfabe compound, right, man? These cameras, they ain't cheap.
That's true. Kickstarter update.
Yes, yeah. Octobriana.
Continuing from our last video a year ago. That was my first Kickstarter. Octobriana, 1976, the world's first blacklight comic. I wanted to do Kickstarter for 10 years. I love these different distribution models. I like playing with this stuff. And so that one just happened to fall perfectly. I've been working on a book for over a year. That book was put on hold briefly, and it opened up a couple of months for me to do Octobriana, which was something I had in mind.
What are you working on?
I can't say that, but I can say I'm only 4 pages from finish. So more news on that one soon. More reason to subscribe. This will be the first place I talk about
more it. More reason to do these kinds of broadcasts.
Absolutely. But, you know, we quit recording probably in the middle of that Octobriana Kickstarter campaign. It exceeded all of my expectations. Whatever the best case scenario was, it did better than. Thanks to all of you out there for spreading the word, for joining that campaign. A huge thing. It really kind of opened up my eyes and my dreams as to what I can make. You know, it's one more method for making comics and making books and doing this stuff, which is the most exciting part of having these different distribution models.
So it's my pacemaker.
It finished up on schedule. I had the book done before I started the Kickstarter. I just needed to know how many to print. And some cool stuff came out of that Kickstarter. Some extras, a black and white version that I ended up printing on a web press in New York, which is amazing. I mean, it's like the old comics that I grew up loving, especially the black and white explosion books. So all that stuff happened within about a month of wrapping up the campaign. I had books, I had prints, and started sending them out. And that went pretty smooth. About 3,500 packages that I stuffed myself, addressed myself, and mailed. I was just taking carloads to the post office. Was my main shipping partner. So I would load up my car with literally until it was packed full about twice a day.
They'd let you take those little containers to the crib, right?
Yes. Many shout outs to my local post office. They were huge, very helpful. But it went well. Feedback's been good. You know, a couple of things got damaged in the mail here and there, but not very much.
There price were only of business.
A couple of packages that I had to replace. So overall, like, it went smooth. So excited for everybody that backed it. I was thrilled to make that book. And I don't know that I could have made that book any other way. So
it was such a weird time because you had certain plans for that thing. Comic distribution stops for however long it stopped, man. One of the beauties of having a monopoly as the sole distributor to the comic shop, when they say business isn't happening, man, business isn't happening. And you pivoted, you did something different, and it worked out, you know, 5 times, 10 times what you might have, you know, made if you would have went through like the typical channels.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that it reached people who would have never heard of it otherwise.
Right.
So, and it did go through comic book stores too. So shout out to comic book stores who have been big supporters of my work. I've actually sold out several of my books because of comic shop orders in this past year. But we talked a lot on this channel about doing stuff with this downtime. You know, a lot of people weren't going to work for a few months during the lockdown or whatever. We talk about do something productive, do something positive. And we saw those things. People send us comics. We show off some of those. But Ed, you were very productive in this time.
That's true, man.
Last time we had one of these videos, I don't think you had a monthly book coming out. So what? How about a little update on how that's going?
Put the head down for 2020. Very little changed for me in terms of my plans because I had this idea of doing a monthly book. Apologies. Our landscaper at the Kayfabe Mansion is taking care of our bonsai trees and whatnot. It was going to be a production year for me anyhow. I wanted to get a bunch of comics in the hopper, in the queue, completely finished, ready to go by the time we made the initial announcements that the book was going to, you know, see the light of day. And I think I got 7 or 8 issues done in 2020. And things have been great. You know, did hundreds of pages during that year, worked small for a little bit so that I could just keep churning those pages. Things have been awesome. Like, you know, the articles are out there and they don't lie. And I actually think that Fanta's kind of hedging a little bit, man, because they say that it's like one of the most popular comics they've had in 20 years. They told me that it's the most popular ever, man. They just don't want, you know, the Los Bros to see that or some shit like this.
Oh,
man.
No.
Anyhow, man, things have been way better than expected. While doing Red Room, I was thinking that, like, of all my ideas that I have in mind of things that I want to do, probably for the next couple of years, next couple of projects, Red Room was the most dicey. And part of even starting the channel, in a way, was knowing that this was going to be the toughest sell, in my mind, of all of my ideas. And I wanted to just get that out of my system, do something a little bit different that I knew had a limited niche kind of audience and see what happens. And I think there are almost 300,000 copies in print across the 4 issues. So it makes me happy. It's a kayfabe audience that makes it that gooses those numbers. It's these variant covers that you've done. People are really chasing those things, and you know that's been helping things out. So I owe you, you know, I'll rake your leaves. I'll paint your fence. You know, I'll take you and your beautiful wife out to dinner, whatever.
Maybe you'll do a cover for me whenever my book is coming out.
What are you working on again? But I think one of the main reasons why we stopped doing the weekly thing for a while is that just, you know, no need to get too deep into our production process, but like we have several locations where we shoot these videos, man. We don't just point the camera down sitting right here and shoot the other things. And I myself needed a little bit of an oasis in the midst of chaos. And I wanted to read a lot more comics. We decided that it might be a good idea since so many people are stuck at home and our numbers were just rising. What if we do videos every single day? You know, and some sacrifices had to be made with that because breaking stuff down and moving it from one location to the other, that takes time, and time is money, man. And we just didn't have the resources to do that. We have limited, like, we don't have double the production equipment. Yes. And stuff like this, right? So I think that was the main impetus for why we started to do the daily thing and sort of let the weekly stuff go by the wayside for a minute. But I'm very interested in picking it up again because I don't know that I'm going to be doing much FaceTime one-on-one with people at festivals or anything this year. Going to keep rocking the monthly comic, keep nose to the grindstone. As soon as we're done here, I'm going right back to that table. Got to ink page 5 of my next issue. But 2022, right around the corner, we're going to be making the scene again. And I want to pick up things where we left off, going to Nova Scotia. You know, the one piece that we really did sacrifice, that I know you, like, you know, you were a part of, And it's the only thing that I was looking forward to in like January of 2020 before COVID hit was going to Maui Comic-Con in like December of 2020.
Yes.
That did not happen. And they waited a while to like say that they weren't going to have that fest, but I was like really scared because they weren't saying anything. And I'm like, I just don't think I can go. And it was a standoff because I have never backed out of something. Anything I say I'll do. But I really didn't want to. And then they were like, it's off. And I'm like, whew. But I want to go. You know, we need to start going out again and doing our thing. Probably going to chill for most 2021. But next year, you know, you're going to see these faces, man, in a town near you.
I have such a love-hate relationship, like I think a lot of cartoonists do, with going to conventions. Yeah. You know, I sit in a room by myself all the time. I'm a little bit antisocial by nature. Man, have I missed them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I have so many friends in comics where it's like, that's the only time I see them on both sides of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I am eager to see some of these people again. It's been too long.
One of the weird consequences of 2020 is that everybody was like reaching out, searching for their safety blanket. And it turns out that comic books are a lot of people's safety blankets, man. And when I started feeling more comfortable going out on the hunt, man, it's hard to find cheap comics these days, man, because people seem to be willing to shell out whatever for that little piece of, I don't know, nostalgia, their childhood, because the stuff that is becoming more and more expensive, stuff you would not have thought of and would have been costing you a quarter if the pandemic wasn't going down.
Yeah, it's incredible where comics are, the different niches of collectors and what's valuable. Yes, you would have never thought this. I purged my collection in the early 2000s. I was moving, you know, every year or something, and got rid of all these comics from the 90s. And now, like, many of them are just, they've skyrocketed in price. It's crazy. But no shortage of good comics out there. So, you know, whatever the price point is, I feel like you can find interesting comics.
And we're sitting amongst, you know, tens of thousands of comics in the archives, man. And I think we'll find some interesting things to make videos about.
It's been one of the interesting things of doing the weeklies, doing the dailies, I mean, is really kind of going through and pulling out comics that if we were doing one video a week, you might not review that one issue. You might not review that fill-in issue of X-Force. But when you're doing them daily, it's a chance to pull out some different stuff. So again, if you're new to this channel, I would encourage you to go through some of our archives and playlists. You may be surprised by what you find in our archives.
We're picking things back up where we left off, and you guys have seen that that Tom has been making the scene again. Just trying to be responsible people. We were all locked down. You were the only person I saw for most of 2020, and you know Tom has his thing going on, but you know we're all more comfortable getting together again, doing some stuff, and it's he's really been adding some great headspace. Some great neurology to these reviews. He's getting super comfortable on the mic, man. And it's been extra fun having one extra brain in the mix.
It's been good to see Tom.
It has been. It was one of those things where, you know, I was like, will I ever see Tom again, man?
Right.
You know, he's been wanting to get out the house, too. So great to make that happen. Had to take this week off. He's got some kayfabe duties going on, man, but he's going to come back again.
And many thanks to Tom for picking up slack for me. I was unable to be here last week. I did get to edit some of those videos and talk about a nice thing to listen to on the road. Those things were amazing. So, yeah, many, many thanks to Tom.
That's the thing that's been coming to us by way of message and comments and things. People just acknowledging and appreciating cartoonist kayfabe as kind of like an oasis you know in their day during the world burning around us. And I have to say that that's the same deal for myself in terms of just the production, getting to hang out with you, getting to hang out with Tom, getting to lose myself a little bit each day by reading some comics and thinking critically about them and putting my mind in a place that isn't dire or filled with anxiety.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, because when I was a kid, comics were really like, I often say comics saved my life.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in kind of the middle of nowhere. I knew no one else that was interested in comics, right. Drawing, art, anything like that. And when I started reading comics, that's what they were for me. They really were like the hope, the escape, the entertainment, all the things that you know, that I still love in them. And this year has definitely been sort of a return to that.
I found myself jumping into Security Blanket comics and things along the way, man. All the stuff that sort of, I think what I was doing to keep myself motivated was I was kind of digging into some kind of old school. I was kind of searching for the stuff that really inspired me to dedicate myself to the craft, man. And it could be things ranging from rewatching Beavis and Butthead, mm-hmm, to reading Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run or something. You know, just like anything that I remember that, like, as I'm going through my stuff, if there was even a tangential piece of inspiration that like led me to like draw something else, I was just indulging myself in that. Down to like, I did a video where I unboxed. I got a hold of these Nintendo cards that like were little scratch off things, and it would be like each card was a game that you could play. And those were some of the first things that I copied from, because the Marvel comics, the house styles were still a little too good for where my skills were, right, at the time. But the artwork on those cards, very raw. Very, very raw. And I was able to copy that stuff, and then I graduated to comics, you know? And, found those things, and that brought back that, like, rush of nostalgia or inspiration that got me into the game. Some things I haven't thought about in many, many years. When I saw them, I was just drunk on it. That's sort of like the genesis of the whole channel.
I was going to say, it reminds me of rediscovering Wizards after, yeah, 20 years and sort of having that same return,
right,
feelings. Yeah, it's interesting to go back and do this too, because it gives me a chance to look at comics that I have in my collection for 30 years. You know, when I purged 20 years ago, I didn't get rid of everything. But many of those comics, you know, you move on from, you get away from. It's been an excuse to revisit some of this stuff 20, 25, 30 years later. And it's kind of fascinating. It's a very different perspective having drawn comics for the last 20 years to then look at this stuff that I held in such high regard as a kid, or that I may have overlooked back then. You know, some of this stuff that you think of as classics, I didn't read everything,
yeah,
whenever I was a kid. You know, sometimes we pull out these comics and it's like, that's my first time reading this classic issue.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of exciting in that way, too.
Very excited to get back to doing these kinds of videos, because putting out certain questions, get immediate feedback and immediate references and suggestions for certain things. I don't know that the shape of my Red Room comic would have gone certain destinations if I didn't put the request out there. What kind of novels should I be reading? What kind of flicks should I be seeing? Now that you guys have seen Red Room and have the vibe for it, please give me some more recommendations of weird, odd movies to see, books to read. Authors like Jack Ketchum and Richard Layman would not have been on my radar if it wasn't for people in the kayfabe community. And, man, I saw some crazy flicks. Like, because
I always get nervous when you ask for these requests of what's coming in.
There was this one, like, for some reason, it's just sticking in my mind right now. So there are these, like, subsections of horror that you can discover when you really start getting deep. And there was this idea, it's like a British subset called hoodie horror, and the idea is it's almost like Dan Clowes' The Stroll, where it's like these teenage kids, they might not mean you well, man. So it's like movies with like killer teenage fuck ups, you know.
Yes.
And I saw this flick called Kid Adulthood. It's a British version of Kids, but it's almost like an unintentional parody of Kids. Like, it's hitting all the marks that like if you created like a graph of like what are all of the plights of the teenage youth, like what's all the worst stuff that could be done, you know, get pregnant early, get sort of, you know, ostracized from the tribe, shoplifting, violence, one street against another street kind of stuff, and they put it all in here. But it feels like the British are like cultural appropriating America. I encourage everybody to check it out, because it has it all. You know, it has a girl, like, you know, she's knocked up and she's punching her stomach for like 3 minutes. It's pretty hardcore. And I found that when I went down this like hoodie horror rabbit hole, that was suggested in the comments, man. Eden Lake, another good flick, man, has that guy that played Magneto, whatever the fuck his name is. He played Steve Jobs too in the Aaron Sorkin flick. Hanging out at a quarry, thinks he's going to be alone with his old lady. Bunch of teenagers there, fucking with him. They pop his tires to his car. He confronts them. Schmoz happens. He accidentally kills their dog. Those kids are not having it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Eden that sounds Lake. Like a nightmare. It's like Straw Dogs with kids.
Yeah. Eden Lake, check it out, man. Highly recommended. That one's over Kid Adulthood. Kid Adulthood's a novelty piece.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'll watch that one or not, Ed. Sometimes I have trouble with Red Room.
Yeah. It's always satisfying giving you guys the comps, and then just seeing Tom go through it. It reminds
hands
me
back. I can't take that out, Ed.
It reminds me like one time when we were invited to something in Philadelphia, and we got there early. We had time to kill. You, me, and Tom.
Yes.
We had time to, you know, remember where I'm going with
this? I
do. And I remember, I was like, we got lunch, and I'm like, there's this place called the Muter Museum, something like this, where they just, it's a museum of oddities and things. And we had like hours to kill. And everybody agreed, like, yeah, let's go do it. So found the joint, went there, pay the admission. You walk into the joint, and there are just like, an archway of skulls or something, and I looked back. Tom is white as a sheet, and he said, "I forgot I don't like this kind of thing." He said,
that's amazing. Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun afternoon.
It was pretty cool, man. Because you get past
that, it felt like a Mike Mignola designed museum or something. Walking through there,
totally, man. There was like a giant skeleton, like a giant human skeleton, right next to like a little person, I believe they're called, skeleton. And I remember seeing that giant skeleton that was like a 10-foot tall guy or something, and thinking like if a superhero, like Captain America, would be that tall. You know what I'm saying? Like when I saw that thing, it just like standing, it was even kind of almost standing in like a heroic pose. It wasn't like these twisted up tall guys that
like
you
the
see.
Superhero anatomy.
Totally.
Yeah,
man.
That's
like 11 heads tall, 15
yeah,
heads tall,
right.
Something like that, man.
I've been, I haven't been doing that much. I've been on the road on and off for the last couple of weeks. The one thing I've been doing, podcasts, listen to wrestling podcasts,
yes.
As per always. R.I.P. Bobby Eaton.
Bobby. Damn, I didn't realize.
Couple
Ken
weeks
Bell
ago.
Salute.
Yeah, really. You know, and I can remember talking about Harley Race on here a year or so ago. It's always sad, you know, passing, these guys passing. But you do get to hear everybody tell stories. And so it's kind of a celebration of their life and legacy and all of that. So that's kind of cool. Arn Anderson's podcast is another favorite of mine. And they changed their format. It's been a few months now, but they've started telling his story chronologically. And before wrestling podcast, I would read wrestling biographies. And Anderson's wrestling biography is written in kayfabe, which
wow.
Makes it really weird, like one of the weirdest stories, because it's his biography and then he starts telling wrestling stories as if they really broke Dusty Rhodes' leg, that kind of thing. Very weird.
How does the Ole Anderson part work?
This is some of the funnest part on the podcast stuff, because that was before I started watching. Like Ole Anderson was just phasing out of the Four Horsemen whenever I started being aware of wrestling, but they go through all of that. Like they're kind of getting to that point now where I had started watching. Is about what they're up to. But they go through all the territory stuff. But the Ole Anderson stuff is amazing because they'll play clips of promos. And you get to hear Arn Anderson's evolution over, like, say, the first 2 years. You know, he got good pretty quick. But he still had this big learning curve. You know, even though it's pretty quick, you're listening to episode, you know, week by week installments, so you can still see it. Once he starts teaming with Ole Anderson, Ole Anderson's approach to the promos are completely different. It sounds like it's the interviewer talking. Like, he's not yelling. It's not really hyperbole. He's just sort of telling it like it is. Almost like he doesn't care, but has good shit to say. And you can see Arn Anderson sort of learning. Like, every single promo they do together, I feel like the next one Arn Anderson's better at, until he's kind of got his character down. So seeing that kind of development is really amazing. And Ole Anderson, wow, just a... You know, like I said, I did not really see him at that time. and hearing the stories and what he's doing, the storylines combined with his promos, and knowing a little bit, like he's kind of, you know, part-time at that point, has made his money in wrestling. You know, there's all these factors that influence who this guy is. You have Arn Anderson as virtually a rookie, and Ollie Anderson who's seen and done everything. And it's just a really kind of cool story. So, been enjoying that. CM Punk came back to a crazy pop. You know, there aren't that many big pops, and there haven't really been any, maybe in a decade. You know, WWE, I try to watch it, I just can't. And Punk came back, and it felt legitimate. Like, it felt like this is what you watch wrestling for. Like, that moment where it's not exactly reality, but there's a sincerity. Like, the people screaming in the audience certainly felt like there was nothing that was going to be more exciting to them than CM Punk coming out of the curtain. And so that was kind of a cool moment. So a lot of interesting little bits of wrestling podcasts
floating around. I thought the CM Punk ice cream thing was fascinating because it got this the same sort of gravitas as the Todd McFarlane home run ball purchase in terms of publicity. Half the price.
Let's talk about that a minute, because like, he comes back, it's one of the biggest, most anticipated comebacks probably in wrestling history. That's all he had to do to pop the crowd. And he ends his promo with free wrestling bars for everybody in attendance at his hometown. ESPN ran a story on, like, you know, the whole return and build up and everything. He had been working with a local ice cream company for 2 years on the ice cream bars. How much would it cost? Can you produce this many? All these different things. Who knows? Tony Khan may have paid for those in the end, but the article says $84,000 was the cost of those things. And it's a guy who's the most over of anybody in 10 years when he's standing in the ring, and he still tacks that on. I feel like there's so much I can take from that as trying to make comics, where it's like, it's not enough to make the comics. It's not enough to make good comics. Like, it's the push. Like, is there anything I can do to make this comic better, to add something to it, to make it more memorable, regardless of how successful it is? It's still that extra push. Like, those ice cream bars, kind of a throwaway. Who cares? Although it did feel like an Andy Kaufman reference, which I liked and appreciated. But he does it as like this extra thing. You know, he's going to go out and have this huge thing. Everybody would go home happy that he's back. Nope. One little extra thing that he thought of to do, and then he did it. And it's like, that's how I want to make comics. That's how I want to do everything in life.
I think about that as just in terms of like as advertising. So it gets picked up in like ESPN and things like that. And I bet his t-shirt sales were no slouch the day after. So it's an investment in your own business to drop that like $84K, which seems crazy. But what happens if week in the next week you sell $200,000 worth of t-shirts?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, we've cartoonist kayfabe, like, we've talked about wrestling a lot on this show over the years, because I think there's so many of those lessons that we can apply to what we're doing, you know, in terms of promotion, in terms of keeping a fan interested in what we're doing, you know, giving back to fans, all these different pieces. And you look at wrestling history, you find those examples. How did somebody move the needle? How did somebody create a new archetype to be one of the top guys? You know, so I think there's a lot that I can apply to what I want to do and accomplish. And it's kind of neat to see a little bit of that excitement back on the wrestling world.
Yeah, I bet, man. I bet. Also, Punk, I think he's a comics fan. I think I remember seeing some references and stuff. So, Punk, shoot interview?
He's written some comics. We'll talk about Thor or whatever.
I don't know about that. maybe no shoot interview.
We could, we'll find the Venn diagram. Yeah, Walt Simonson.
Yeah, there
Let's
it is.
Let's talk man. About Walt Simonson,
Punk. Beta Ray Bill, man. We haven't really said his name even that much on the channel yet. Anyhow, man, it's good to be back. It's good to be in front of the hot lights and talk directly to the audience, man. Thank you guys for supporting the channel. Thanks for checking out these videos on the daily. We're not going to stop that anytime soon.
We're going to keep trying to do better, bigger surprises, everything we can do, man, to make this the not just the best comics YouTube, but the best comics we can make, keeping this thing going.
A lot of ideas in the hopper, big, big plans for 2022, and you guys are going to see us again within a couple of days, maybe. Man.
Very soon. We have some surprises in store, so stay tuned.
All right, man. Should we do this, the part that we do on the, should we do the promo piece, man, in front of the people, man? Like, grab Red Room Comics at your local comic shop.
I thought you were going to say, like, follow, subscribe. Hit the bell icon so we can notify you when new vids are available or when we're live streaming.
All that stuff, man. Get our comics. Subscribe to the channel. What am I missing at the end there, Jimmy?
Let me see. Read more comics.